Sorry, I had to give someone a snuggle. All right, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
Welcome to Harbor of Joy. Let's stand up and worship together this morning.
Thank you for playing. And it's good to have the drums back. Thanks, Patty. Glad that you're here, too. I don't have to say welcome to Harbor of Joy because Melissa already said that. So lack of better thing to say is I'm glad Jeff Kyle is back, regardless of what any of you say. So you know that. Good that you're here today. Got a few announcements to make your way. This coming Thursday, today's the last time you can sign up for the Passover meal. That will be this Thursday from 5:30 to 7:30. Trevor Rubenstein or Rubenstein, not sure how you say his name. He will be here. He is a Messianic Jew, which means he just knows that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that he is the Messiah. And his life has not always been that way. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. He went into the gutter in a lot of ways, but he came back to know Jesus Christ as his Savior. And so he will be leading us, or those of you that have signed up here on Thursday evening, will be in the fellowship room as he'll take us through the Passover meal, the way Jews practice it today, and relate it to Easter that's coming, the Passion Week type of a thing. So you can't help but to see Jesus in the Passover meal. And they've been doing this for thousands of years. So we get to get in on it this Thursday, starting at 5:30 in the evening as well. So there will be nothing on Wednesday night because our Lenten service will be the Passover meal on Thursday, just so you know that. So don't come Wednesday because you'll find nothing here. Well, might find something, who knows. Joy Kids will be here on Wednesday from 3:30 to 5, I know that. Right? Okay, gotta make sure I didn't make a mistake there. And so that is something we look forward to, so there'll be nothing. Patty, you don't have a meeting Thursday night then? I just wanna make sure with that. So there will, no one will be here to lead that little Bible study that you have on Thursday night called Read Through the Bible for those of you that are going through that. And then men's breakfast. Where is Ron Knutson? You know, he'd be the first one that raises his hand. Don't forget the men's breakfast this coming Saturday at 7:30. Doran, see you there? Think about it. No pressure, you know. But everybody here knows, they'll be asking, was Doran there? I'd say, like, I don't know. You should have came and found out. But they go, like, it's just for men, right? Yeah, it's just for men. Prayer requests, I just want you to know that Al Holman is in Hilltop in Spirit Lake, and he says he's doing okay, but just pray for Alan. He loves company, that's for sure. Loves when people pray with him as well. And so reminds us of Rob Ramsey, who is out in Las Vegas. Dean is out there. Dean flew out here on Friday, I believe it was, and he'll be back tomorrow. But he just says there's not a whole lot. Well, Dean sees a lot of improvement, but it's slow. It's very slow. Rob stood up by himself for 5 minutes this last week. And so I thought, that's huge. And then Dean had a dream about seeing Rob walk. The same night when he talked to Cheryl, Cheryl said she had a dream that she was there when he took his first steps. And I go, like, you never know what's going on there. So that's all I can say about that. Keep praying. That's what Dean was saying. He'd love to be here today. He just says hi, but that's where he's at. And just think of those that have been coming back from down south, coming back here for getting back home to Milford. Hope it's still home for those of you. Jeff, is it home for you? Okay. You are in Iowa. This time last week, you were probably in Texas. I don't know. Palm trees. Nope. There's no palm trees here. And just a thanks to Suzanne Kern for just a wonderful meal last week as well. It was great that you had. There was a good turnout of people as well. And many stayed for the Lenten service too. If you want to know that there still is room for someone to sign up for Meals on Wheels, we got that for the month of April. It's just Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's all we have it. And if you're interested in that, you can sign up by the secretary's office where the folding doors are at. There's a clipboard there if you'd like to do that. And Confirmation Sunday, I'm hoping it'll be the first Sunday in May, but I'll let you know if it'll get there. I want to change communion to Mother's Day, the next Sunday, so we can have just confirmation on the first Sunday in May. So I'll let you know more about that as time gets closer. So there's other announcements that are in there, and we do have one more. Terry Dirks has something she wants to say. And you have Iris. You're going to say something too, or are you going to just do the Vanna White thing? No? So what do you got there, Terry?
Can everybody hear me?
You can take this mic. Here.
Okay, I am not a very good public speaker. But for months, Iris and I have been talking since I don't know if any of you have noticed, I'm sure most of you have, but we have redone the nursery. We've got a new chair, a new bench, new toys. Well, not so many new toys, but that's what we've been talking about since we got this going, was that we needed some refreshing toys in there. So Iris and I have been talking for the last several months that we were gonna go shopping and get this done. Well, Friday, when there was spring break and no school, we finally went and got it done. And so Iris is gonna hold up some stuff that we got. And we want to very much thank the people that have generously given to the Memorial Committee, because this is coming out of the Memorial Committee funds. So before that, we put all this stuff in the nursery, we're actually going to go through and maybe get rid of some of the older stuff. So again, we want to thank you. We got puzzles, books, games. I mean, and there's soft books, different ages for different kids. So we want to thank everybody that's given to that, right? Do you have anything you want to say? Oh, sorry.
Thank you, Terry, very much. A nursery. The call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 32, three verses, 1 and 2 and 11. It says, "Blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him, and in whose spirit is no deceit. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in heart." We have a song by the praise band called Friend of God. Responsive reading today says, "Lord, there is no happiness outside of you."
Why do we think that we can be happy in other things?
Having the newest, the biggest, and latest thing will not satisfy us over time.
Relationships and expectations of others will let us down or disappoint us.
Lord, only you can bring lasting happiness as we depend on you.
Your presence and word faithfully reminds us to follow, trust, and look to you.
Help us, Lord, to be happy because we have you in our lives.
Forgive us, Lord, as we think that we can find happiness in other places.
Many are the woes of those who sin, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the person who trusts in him. Keep our steps on the road or journey that leads us to you. I am happy to be in your house this morning. You may be seated or stand, whatever you want to do, praise band. It's always amazing when you hear the songs or sing the songs as well to know that I didn't talk to Melissa about the songs, what she's singing, what they're playing today, but everything they've done here goes right along with the message today. That only the Holy Spirit can do things like that. So I almost seems like after the message, we'd sing all these songs over again. And you'd make a good connection then with what's being talked about here today. I invite you to stand as we read Psalm 32. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 9 is our focal point here today. Psalm 32, 1 through 9. He begins by saying this: blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord does not count against him and in whose spirit is no deceit. When I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was sapped as in the heat of summer. Then I acknowledged you. I acknowledged my sin to you, and you did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray to you while you may be found. Surely, when the mighty waters rise, they will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You will protect me from trouble and surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word here this morning. It is words that are good to hear. It's words that are going to be good to apply to our lives if need be. But they're good to hear over and over again. And so today, Lord, if someone has heard these words before, may there be things that they hear this time that they never heard before, but that they will come to you in and through them and because of them. Not because of me, but because of your word, Lord, that we come. We pray your blessing now in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Sorry for making you stand so long. But I do want to start by saying this, that the real Harbor of Joy begins right here in Psalm 32. This is the real Harbor of Joy right here. Because it's about a person who knows what it is like to be forgiven. Are you forgiven of your sins today? Is that something that brings joy into your life, knowing that, hey, I know I'm forgiven. I know whatever I have done in the past, God has forgiven me. The guilt I have been carrying around with me or going on in my life, God's forgiven me. I don't need to have that anymore. Psalm 32 is talking about a person. Actually, he was a king. And once you realize who the Psalm 32 is, who it's coming from, you'll go like, oh, now I get it. He first makes his statement in Psalm 51. If you read Psalm 51, it's the same guy, but it's because of Psalm 51 is why we have Psalm 32. And he is a, somebody who is a king who's described what it, and he knows what it's like. This guy knows what it's like to give in to lust, to commit adultery, to plan a murder, and then to try and cover it up by getting the husband of the woman in which he had the affair with. He tries to get the guy drunk so that he will go back home and sleep with his wife. But the guy doesn't, because he's in the army. He's in the Israelite army, and he's loyal to his king, and he sleeps outside of his palace, saying, I cannot go and sleep with my wife when my men are out there sleeping on the ground. They're out in the cold. He goes, you're my king. I want to stay loyal to you, and I'll go back out there whenever you want me to. So you know who it is. It's King David. It's who this psalm is about. King David literally took Frank Sinatra's song, I Did It My Way. Some of you know that song. If you are below 50, you probably have no idea. Maybe if you're below 60, you have no idea who Frank Sinatra is. I don't know. But Frank Sinatra goes, you know, it was a great song of his, I Did It My Way. And King David did everything his way. And he didn't do it God's way. And anytime we do that in life, if we do things our own way and not God's way, it's going to be the wrong way. And it'll be a bad day, eventually. So Psalm 51 is King David's confession of what it is like to try to hide sin from God. And I say that because do we find ourselves oftentimes doing that? We try to justify our sin, or go like, oh, it wasn't that big of a sin. It's no big deal. Well, in God's eyes, it will always be a big deal. You can't hide it. He'll uncover it. He'll pester you. The Holy Spirit will come and put God's heavy hand on your life and your heart, and you're going to go like, man, I just, why did I feel so rotten and so miserable? It's probably because you have not confessed your sin and what has been bothering you, what's been eating on you. So we see a really different person here, a different king, David, here in Psalm 32 than what we would see in Psalm 51. Because in Psalm 51, as well as here, we find that King David is honest and he's transparent with his feelings and his thoughts and what he has done in his life, and he's transparent before God. And that's a wonderful thing. It's tough to be transparent, isn't it? It's tough to be honest before God. It's hard stuff, but you know, once it's over with, it's like, whew, I'm sure glad that that's over with. And thank you, Lord, for forgiving me, because now I know I stand right with you. Happiness will not come any other way than when we are transparent and we're honest, no matter what it is. You want to be happy? Then just be transparent and be honest. It doesn't matter what other people may think or say. It's just that you got it off your chest. You got it off of your mind. And you can say like, well, I got things right with God. I don't know how the other person may take that, but that's their problem. I solved my problem and got right with the Lord. So how can a person be happy? As we look at our text today, it begins, the first two verses begin with blessed. Blessed is just another way which you if you wanted to translate it into happiness, to be happy, you're called blessed or blessed. We find that even in the Sermon on the Mount, the many, blessed is the one who mourns, blessed is this person, that person. You just read Matthew chapter 5. You'll get the Beatitudes. And you'll see how many blessed things are. To be happy, happy as a person. And we only can be happy when we know that God is doing his thing in us, in our hearts. It's he that has forgiven us. I don't know how many times I went to bed when I was younger afraid to die. I thought, what if I die in my sleep? But then at that time, Billy Graham was alive. And I said, well, if Billy Graham's still around, I'm okay. Well, now Billy's gone. And I said, well, Franklin Graham's still around. Can't use Franklin. It was a dumb thing even to use Billy. But that's where I was at that time in my life. I'm just going like, I'm afraid to die. Some of you might be here today and you're afraid of dying. Some of you have had an out-of-body experience and you say, I'm not afraid anymore of dying. That's fine. But death is something that is going to come. And we have dealt with that just not too long ago with Becky Berg and with Idella. And to deal with that with my mom. Just it's a time in life you just don't want to go through or be a part of, where you see what's going to happen. But we can be happy because it's about God. And you look at the very last verse, it says, don't be like what? Don't be like what? What's that? Yeah. No. Don't be like a horse, a mule. A mule is another name for a donkey. I remember a guy many years ago who called me donkey. He didn't fun, though. I go like, donkey, I never heard that one before. But he said those things to me. And I go like, a donkey and a horse is some of those things that you think of, they can be very stubborn. Ta-da, guess who's stubborn? I can be that way too. And he goes on and says there that if it wouldn't be for the bit and the bridle, you can't really control a horse. And I know there's horses that don't like a bit, that you can't even get the bit in their mouth. And they will rear up and they'll kind of try to get you with their front legs and feet. A donkey is just plain stubborn. It can sit down and just not want to move. Stubbornness. Anybody here that's stubborn? Oh, thank you, Ross. I'm glad you pointed at Terry. You know, we all have a lot of stubbornness in us, especially when it comes to the things of the Lord. It may not be pleasant, but the results are well worth it when we admit, we confess, we're being honest with God, and we say, Lord, forgive me for my stubbornness. Remember when Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying by himself, and what do we have recorded in the Gospels? Jesus said, not my will, but that thy will be done. And he was talking about the cup. He knew he had to drink the cup that was just full of sin and poison and bad stuff. And he just said, if there's any other way, Lord, you know, but I want to take this cup away. But then he said, okay, your will, not my will. There's times in life we have to say that too. I don't like this, but I will do it because I know this is what you want me to do. Sometimes we just do the opposite of being honest and transparent. And we get to the point and place where we do what the psalmist says here. When I kept silent. Ever given God the silent treatment? I just won't talk to him. I won't say anything. I'm just going to keep it to myself. And David, he talks about how he remained silent. And he did it for a long time. Because he said day and night, he didn't say anything. He kept it inside, but yet God knew all along what he had done and what was happening in his life. His guilt and his anguish bothered him. He suffered not only physically, but he also suffered emotionally, internally, groaning and achy bones and no energy or strength. There's no joy. There's only heaviness and feeling like a dish rag, feeling weak. But then something changed. Something really changed in his life, and it was when he finally confessed. He acknowledged his sin to God. He goes back remembering of how he saw Bathsheba on top of the house late at night. He remembers of sending one of his servants to go get her and to bring her to his palace. He remembers the night that he spent with her. And then to find out that she was married and her husband is in the army of Israel and they're fighting. And so he sends a messenger to the general of saying, find this guy and send him back to Jerusalem. Which is what happened. And then when he didn't go along with this plan of trying to cover up what he had done, because he got really scared when he found out that Bathsheba told him that she was pregnant. And that's what really scared King David. And so that's why he tried to bring the husband back to see, like, well, if he comes back and he sleeps with her, well, then I can say it's not my kid. They didn't have paternity things at that time where you could find out who's the real dad. But he could always go back and say, well, he came back. Remember, he was home on leave. He slept with his wife. But he didn't do that. And that's what really got him irritated. After even trying to get him drunk, he wouldn't do it. But when he finally acknowledged his sin to God, and he stopped trying to cover up his own sin, he confessed it to the Lord. And if you look at your own life and your own heart, you know, isn't that really the way it is? When you finally confess up to something, you're glad. It's finally out. You admit it. And we need to do this with the Lord himself to say, God, forgive me for what I have been thinking, what I've been doing, what I've been trying to do for who knows how long. But here's the result. We find it even in this psalm. The result is that God did forgive King David. We find what he did. If you wanted to look more into what he actually happened there, go to 2 Samuel chapter 11 and 12. It will tell you the whole story that goes along with this psalm. 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. You'll get a much better background on all that's taking place here. Make sure you read Psalm 51. And then Psalm 32, what we're on today. But something really happened to King David, because when he confessed his sin, and he knew that God had forgiven him, because God forgave him, why? Because of something he did? No, because God loved King David, and he's a man after his own heart, and he'll do that to us, with us too. If we confess, Lord, forgive me. He loves us. He will do that. And when he forgives us of our sins, what does he do with them? He casts them as far as it is to Estherville, as it is to Sibley. As far as the east is from the west. And he remembers them no more. God can do that. Human beings can't. We oftentimes still remember things, which is kind of a sad thing. But we find that King David has a new relationship with God after he confessed his sin with Bathsheba. There's a new song of deliverance in his heart and in his life he never had before. But it reminded him of who God is. What God has done even for Moses, and you go back to other prophets. God was always there doing things that people didn't deserve. But then neither do we. We don't deserve to be forgiven. We don't deserve to be loved because we're sinners. Be thankful that we have a God who loves us. He's not the kind of angry God up there with a baseball bat looking for people to hit over the head. Like sometimes we get the image of. But he's a God who just continues to love us unconditionally. It's amazing grace and it's amazing love that comes to us. One of the things that King David learned is that God became his hiding place. He could go to God and hide in his presence because he felt close and he knew he was safe there. God cared about him. God was just like a shepherd to him, like a lamb is with a shepherd, or the sheep with the shepherd. There's no better place to be than close to the shepherd. David did not have to run away from God anymore. He learned that you can run to him. There's a song like that today, right, Melissa? Run to our Father. Run to him. If we could only learn to do that, we'd be much happier in life. Only God can give you a happiness, or give me a happiness, that will not fade away, but it will continue to last for eternity. Anything else we find that this world can give us, over time it's going to wear out. And we're going to go like, I don't know why I wanted that thing. How many things have you thrown away or gotten rid of or sold at a garage sale? At one time you said, I really like that when I bought it or when I got it. But now it's not there anymore. Because there's something else that's come up that I'd rather have that than this. That's why there's so many garage sales, right? Where you go to other people's garage sales and you buy their stuff, and then a little while later you're putting it back in your garage sale, hoping somebody else will take it or buy it, and you even lower the price on it. King David found this out, that God was somebody who never gave up on him. God who always came to him, even in his times of heartache, times of falling into sin, trying to cover up things. God just took him the way he was. And that's the way he'll take you too. Just the way you are. You don't have to go out and change anything. He takes you the way you are. Even here this morning. So I just want to ask you this little question, because we're going to get out early today, because I come to the end of the sermon. I want to ask you this question, though. Are you going away from God in your life today? Have you been running the other direction from God? Or are you holding on to his hand, or is he holding on to you? Is he still there even though you might not even want to have anything to do with him? But are you running away? And you haven't learned how to kind of run back to him. Repentance is one of those words that we use in the scriptures that is to come back. I think I've used it in confirmation classes. Like, you know, the best way to remember the word repent or repentance is, you know, you're running away from the cross. You go away from the cross. When you repent, as you turn around, you come back to the cross. You come back to Jesus. You come back that God is in control of your life. We come back also when we confess our sin to him. We admit that I have sinned. And I ask, Lord, forgive me. It can be done with tears. It can be done with just sorrow. It can be done with real soberness. And we ask the Lord to come into our lives, to be our Lord, to be our Savior, to be our King, because he's truly worthy of that. And then we can say, Lord, teach me. Teach me and give me a grateful heart because you forgave me for my sins. You've done it all. And the closer we get to Easter and we hear about the victory that comes to us because of Easter Sunday, we see that Jesus did everything he could for us, that we would come to him. And he never pushes us. He never tries to bring God's word and shove it down their throat. Doesn't carry around a big Bible and say, now, read this. And then I'll come back and we'll have a talk. Jesus doesn't do that. He already knows everything about us. And he'll still loves you. And he'll still forgive you of your sin. Today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being a God that cares that much about us. Even when we are a wandering sheep away from you, you would leave the 99 to come and look for just that one that went astray. And that could be someone here today. I know there was a time it was me. But I'm so thankful you came and looked and found me. Because that's the way you are. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, and now I see. How many times have we heard that song or even sung it or hummed it? And it's very personal because it's true. It's only something that you can do. When we open our heart's door and say, come in to my life, Lord Jesus. Come into my life and stay. This is what I really pray. And you will come. You will never knock over the door or push the door open or try to stick your foot in to hold the door from being closed shut. You just say, here I am. Waiting for us to say, come on in or welcome. Good to see you. I need you. We love to hear that when we go by. When we stop at someone's place, or if we see someone at Walmart, or if we see someone at the grocery store, good to see you. How you doing? I mean, we like those kinds of things. Jesus is way above that. He's not only great to see us, but he's also wonderful and great to forgive us, because he's the only one who can of our sin. So thank you, Lord, for meeting us where we're at here today. And again, you leave it up to us. It's no pressure on my part, being the pastor here. It's just that you come and you talk to each and every person here individually, because only he or she can make up their own mind and come to you and say whatever he or she wants to say to you. You'll understand. And you'll love them. You'll forgive them. You'll go with them if that's what they want. May you be our King each and every day. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. May we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. May we stand and recite the Apostles' Creed together. We'll have a special number following the Apostles' Creed by Melissa. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Receive the benediction. It comes from Jude, verse 24 and 25. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ, our Lord, before all ages now and forevermore. Amen. I don't know if you caught that last line there of Melissa's song. Again and again, you know, kind of run to the Father again and again. I'm going to just stay up front here because maybe there's someone here today that this is a time you can't run in church. Run up front because you want to confess your sin and get right with God today. So I'm just going to stay up here if somebody just wants to talk, whatever. Be more than glad to be here. I can do that here today. Don't be running away, but run to the Father. He's here. May you go in peace and serve the Lord.
Thank you, God.
You're dismissed.